Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Well, I titled my message tonight, The Power of Your If. Look at your neighbor and say, what is your if? And I know you're thinking right now, what are you talking about? What is your if? I'm going to get into that, but I want you to understand something. I know that I can't be the only one who's ever asked questions like this. If God loved me, why did this happen to me? Has anybody out there ever said that? Raise your hand. Anybody, right? Or how about this? If God really cared about me, how come he's not answering my prayer? Has anyone ever said that before? What do we got? A bunch of super Christians here. God's never done that? Like, you've never said that? Where are you guys at? Wave at me. How many have ever asked, if God is real, show yourself to me? You know, as a youth pastor for about 20 years being in youth ministry, there's a lot of questions you get. And a big question you always get is, how do you know God is real? And I would explain to teenagers about scripture and where they can look and how to find out. But then the biggest thing was this, ask God to show himself to you. Because I could preach all day long, and I could talk about how real God is, and you could listen to it, but until God shows you in your life how real he is, it won't change your thought. It won't change your mind. How many know we just need God to show up and do what God does in our life? And so tonight I'm going to read a passage out of Mark chapter 9, and I love this passage because, you know, this word if can carry a whole lot of doubt and disappointment. But when we look in Mark chapter 9, we're going to see a different level of if in there. And really what we're going to see is this. We're going to hear the word if, and I know it's just a two-letter word. It's not a super theological word. I mean, anybody could understand if. But this word, it has power behind it. But what you're going to realize and what you're going to have to find out is this. Are you willing to make the right if in your life? Because we could preach about if, and I could read a story to you in the Word of God about the word if, but until you're ready to apply the real if in your situation and in your life, there's not going to be any change until you apply it to yourself. And so tonight in Mark chapter 9, verse 17 through 23, verse 17 to 23 says it like this. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by evil spirits that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently into the ground. Then he foams out of his mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Jesus said to them, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy. But here's what I find interesting. So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, wait a minute. Everyone say saw. When the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, withering and foaming out of his mouth. In other words, as Jesus didn't even speak to the spirit yet. Jesus didn't even lay hands on the person yet. What happened was the authority that Jesus carries, which by the way, church, is the same authority that he's allowed us to carry. Because of that authority, the demons trembled at his name. The minute Jesus walks into the position of just the child seeing him, all of a sudden what happened was he threw himself in convulsion into a violent place. Why? Because the evil spirit knew the authority of Jesus, and when Jesus stepped in, the spirit had to go. But it doesn't stop there. Next part of the verse says it like this. He asks this question. Jesus again says, how long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy, the spirit often throws him into fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. Do you remember a few moments ago I said, what is your if? At the very beginning of my message, I said, tell your neighbor, what's your if? The child's father challenged Jesus and said, if you can. How many times in our life have we gotten to a place and say, Jesus, if you can. Come on, I know I'm not preaching to myself. How many times have we gotten to a place in life, Jesus, if you could heal me. If you could save my marriage, if you could save my kids, if you could save my neighbor, if you can give me a boldness, if you could do something for me. I love how Jesus responds to this. He says it like this. What do you mean, if I can? Anything is possible if, say if, a person believes. In other words, what's happening is this despair father is in a place of, he doesn't know what to do, how to react to his son, how to react to the situation. He's in an exhausted place. He's tired. He's frustrated. Has anybody in this room ever felt like that before? Come on, where are you at? Where you're tired, you're frustrated, you're in the same situation over and over, and you find yourself going back to the same situation. You went to the altar and you said, Jesus, I promise I won't go back. But then you find yourself a week later going back, or a day later going back to the same situation. You continue to repeat your stuff over and over, repeat things in your life over and over, but yet there's a question, if I can. So we're asking God, if you can heal me, if you could give me a word, God, to change my situation. See, here's the challenge. I don't think the problem is if he can. I think the problem is, do we believe? Because my word said anything is possible for him. Meaning he can do anything in your life, but a lot of times we hinder and hesitate and make it a stop on what he does because of our belief and what we believe. Well, because we're not seeing the result right away. We're not getting the answer to prayer right away. We're not seeing the healing right away. We're not seeing the finance breakthrough right away. So instead, we hesitate to believe that God can do something. Instead of saying, man, I believe that God can. And so tonight, here's what I'm going to do. Is I'm going to ask you this question. And this question is this, and I want you to write this question down tonight. What side of if are you standing on? In other words, here's the question. What does your if look like? Write it down if you're taking notes tonight. What does your if look like? Because here's the thing. The word if has power. Watch this. It can either limit or activate miracles depending on your belief. Which leads me into the first thing I want to speak to you tonight about is this. Number one, if you're taking notes, the if that hesitates. Let's look at Mark chapter 9, verse 22. Again, it says this. The Spirit often throws himself into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us. In other words, help us. But then it says, if you can. That to me is an if that hesitates what God can do in your life. If we prayed like this, church, God, have mercy on me. God, help me get this breakthrough. God, help me get this job. If you can, we just canceled out what God wants to do with what you're praying about. And we live in a canceled society, in a canceled place. And so I'll say it like this. When you ask God for something, believe that God is going to give it to you. Like the word says, believe you're going to receive it. Or you just came in with a prayer of doubt, and God don't respond to no doubt. God, I need you to heal me. Then believe that you're going to be healed. God, I need you to heal my marriage because my marriage is falling apart, and I've seen 10 pastors, and they can't fix it. No, but you can with God. But God, I need you to fix it. Okay, do your part. And believe that he can. Because I think what times what we do is we stop what God wants to do in our life by our unbelief. I'll say it again so you guys can get this. We stop what God wants to do in our life by our unbelief. Go all out. Start believing. We say it, and we said it today. A confession of faith. Jobs and better jobs. Raises and bonuses. Gifts and surprises. How many of you would love to receive those things? Raise your hand. How many of you would love to receive those things? And here's the thing. Start believing and don't say those things with doubt. And don't say those things as, oh, this is something we say all the time, every month. It's a rotation. And we say it over and over. And I'm tired of saying it when I'm not seeing the results. You know how I can say this? Because I've done this before. I'm guilty of this. But then God said, when are you going to believe for what I'm telling you to believe for? Come on, church. Some of your ifs will hold you back. Here's how you know this. When your language changes from God's doing to if God can. When your language changes from God is doing this in my life, and God is working this out, and God is working this miracle, and God is working this job out for me, and God's working behind the scene to if he can, now you've just changed your language. In other words, what you did is you canceled everything God was doing good in your life, and now you put a halt up and you put a place up for things that are not good to start coming against your life. Just by that little unbelief. There's a family named the Walnita family. And this family, I think, is a crazy family because they're bizarre. And what they like to do is a family. And what this family likes to do is tightrope from one building to another building. And their son Nick picked up the rest of their family motto. And it was, nothing's going to scare us. We're not going to have any fear. We're going to just do it. And this guy's a believer. And this guy, what he does is this. He walks across buildings. Across buildings to a place where, okay, he's on a tightrope. He's on a little thing like this. Most of us can't even walk a straight line like this on this without falling. But this guy is he's hundreds of feet up. He is up there going from building to building. Now, here's what I want you to see about this. Here's what I want you to understand about this. This guy has this motto of he never gives up, and he proves over and over that fear is a liar in his life. So imagine yourself in this place. Some of y'all are like, no, Pastor, I ain't doing that tonight. That's just something we do all the time, right? Jump on a tightrope and just run across San Bernardino. You might get shot doing that in San Bernardino. No, I'm just kidding. Be like, what's that guy up there? Boom. Okay, just kidding. All right, let me keep going. But listen to this. One shaky step, one thought of doubt, and they freeze. Now, mind me, the rope can hold them. The poles are steady, and everything is safe as long as they have that step that's not shaky. No doubt, because the minute you start having doubt up there, you're going to fall. Has anyone ever climbed something or been hiking or been in a place of just an adventure thing, and you had a doubt about reaching the top of the mountain? Anybody know what I'm talking about? That you're hiking, and because that doubt came in, you didn't reach the top of the mountain. Anybody know what I mean? I remember when I went to Hawaii with my wife, and we went hiking with our friends. I'll tell you, I will never go hiking again. Because I thought it was going to be a fun thing. It was a hard workout. For you to love the workout, yes, I did. And if you do, it's a great workout. But here's the thing. When you never see the top of the mountain and you keep looking for it and you can't get to it, you start to have some doubt. And then when it starts to rain and you got to turn around, it's like, if it rains, I'm dead. Because I'm not in shape. And I'm not going to make it up this hill in time to even get back to where our car was. Now, my wife and her friend, oh, man, they were trucking up that thing like this. Me and my friend, he was like, my knees hurt. His heart is beating. And I was like, I'm done after this. Like, don't ask me to ever do this again. But here's what happened. We had some doubt in our mind. And the minute doubt came in, it stopped us. I remember one time that I was getting ready to preach in high school, and it was a large auditorium, and there was a lot of kids, and right before I went up, the enemy tried to hit me with doubt. How many know that he would try to get doubt inside of your life at any time, right? And I started walking up to the platform that I was on, and I started walking up, the enemy's like, they're not going to listen to you. Look how crazy these kids look in Colton High School. They are not going to look at you. They're not going to listen. You're wasting your time. But as soon as I got there, I said, devil, shut up. Go back to hell. I'm preaching the gospel. Well, can I share something with you? That day, 100 kids gave their life to Jesus. Now, I don't say that to say, look what you did, forget it. I say it to say this, if I let the enemy put the doubt in my mind, I would have never won those souls that Christ wanted me to win. What doubt is he flooding your mind with tonight? What doubt is he speaking to you as I'm ministering to you tonight? What doubt are you hearing when you drive your car to and from work? What kind of doubts are you hearing on a regular basis? Listen, we don't have to hear those doubts anymore. We can command with one-third an authority of God's word, like Paul preached. We can take authority of those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. And guess what? We don't have to carry those thoughts anymore of doubts. We can cast doubt out and bring in faith. I love what Charles Spurgeon says. He says it like this. Doubt sees the difficulty. Faith sees the possibility. What do you need to see tonight? What do you need God to do in your life tonight? What are you asking God for? How do you apply this to your life, Pastor? Here's how you, great question. Here's how. Bring your hesitation to God. Bring it to him. Say, God, I'm hesitant. God, I don't know if I could do this. God, I don't have the confidence to do what you're asking me to do. Do you know at times when you bring those things to God, he's not surprised? He's not in a place of like, oh, my dear child, let me help you. No, he's like, hey, rise up. Use the authority that I gave you because I'm giving you the confidence, and with me all things are possible. Listen, the father brought his son hoping for a miracle. But his faith was mixed with fear. And he started to have questions. And he took that if and he took the hesitation. You can't mix the faith and fear together. So my challenge to you and I submit to you tonight is this. When fear starts to rise up in your life and you start to have a hesitant if about a situation or about something, here's what I challenge you to do. I submit this to you. I challenge you to say, I'm not going to let fear run my if. Instead, I'm going to let the possibilities of God direct me and my if in the direction that it's going to go. So what was Jesus really saying? He was saying this. Don't question my ability. Question your unbelief. The limitation isn't on my power. It's on your perspective. And if you can believe, you'll see what I can do. In other words, faith doesn't make things easy. It makes things possible. Come on, church, if you believe that tonight. Which leads me to this next one. The if that activates. We talked about the if that hesitates. Now we're going to get into some good stuff and talk about the gift that activates. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, he said this. If you can, said Jesus. Everything, say everything, is possible for the one who what? Believes. In other words, this, Jesus is saying this. Here's the thing. We're not doubting Jesus at all. The question is, can you believe? Because the moment you start doubting Jesus, you cancel what God wants to do. But when you start believing that God can do the miracles and do the miraculous and do what's impossible in your life, guess what happens? God does it. Now, the guy had an issue, and he brought his son to him. And at first, he was like, I don't know if you can. If you can, Jesus, help us. Have mercy on us. Help us. But yet Jesus said, it's not about if I can. It's if you believe. And the minute the guy believed, guess what? He took what was impossible and made it possible. And so, church, I say this to you tonight. Whatever it is that you need to have activated into your life, here's what I want you to do. Believe that God will activate it as you step into it. Don't sit down like this and do nothing and wait and think God's going to do something without you moving. It's not that simple. There are times that we're going to have to get up and move. There are times that we're going to have to fight. Y'all look fight? Yeah, not each other. But against the demonic spirits, come on. There are times that we're going to get into a place that we don't want to be into, but yet we got to take the time to get to it. But pastor, I want to watch this game. But pastor, I want to finish this inning. But pastor, I want to finish this quarter. Listen, maybe that quarter is a quarter that God wanted to drop something into your heart to change your life forever. But I'm going to take the time to hear others and other things than listening to the voice of God. Let me explain this to you. There's a lot of things that will activate your life. Food will activate you. Come on. Some of y'all thinking right now, you could be activated. If we're going out to eat right after church, it's like, I'm there. Sports can activate something inside of you, right? Come on. You guys saw it last night. Dodgers won, man. It was crazy. Nobody was on the streets. I went to In-N-Out. Nobody was there. I took my son there. It was like, where's everybody at? This is weird. But then literally I saw fireworks behind Canes, and all of a sudden I was like, oh. And I saw two cops run out, no lie, two cops, Dodgers won! And I'm like, don't y'all got something better to do? Watch the city of San Bernardino. My point is this, something activated them. They got excited about some stuff. Do we get excited about the things of God? Do we activate what God has put inside of us? When was the last time we went and prayed for somebody and saw them get healed? When was the last time we even took a step to share the gospel with somebody about who Jesus is? When was the last time we got into a place where we invited somebody to step into the house of God to come to church? There are things that God wants to do in our life that he has placed inside of us to do, yet we still need to activate them by just doing it. I challenge you with this. I challenge you with asking God to activate something in your life that's been dead for a long time. Pastor, I got hurt at a different church and I got offended really bad by the pastor. Well, here's what I challenge you. Activate forgiveness in your life. Stop letting the devil hold you back. Pastor, I'm stuck in pornography and I can't get out of this addiction. Yeah, you can. Here's what you need to do. Start activating the word of God in your life. Confess it. Speak to somebody. Get healing. Get prayed over. Get accountability. It's a huge thing that nobody wants to do, but yet it's a thing that helps you get through these kind of things in your life. What do you need to activate in your heart? What is it tonight? What is that if that could be used to activate? I love a story in Matthew chapter 13, it's throughout the Gospels. But Jesus is speaking to a large crowd of people, mixed of his disciples, along with ordinary people that are from surrounding towns, and he's teaching them about something. And what he's teaching them about is the kingdom, it's a parable of the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says this statement, and I remember years ago reading it like, what does this mean? And I'm sure some of you have asked yourself, what does this mean? But he says this statement, and he says it like this. Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Now imagine this for a moment. I want you to think about this for a moment. Imagine this. There's two farmers who each receive the same bag of mustard seeds. In other words, what I got, you got as well. Both had good soil. Both had rain. Both had a lot of sunshine. But something happens here. The same bag. Same weather, same sunshine, same seeds, everything exactly the same. But they're planted differently. One farmer planted his seed with doubt, unsure if anything is ever going to grow. In other words, he planted the seed, I'm planting this, I don't know if anything's ever going to happen, if anything's ever going to grow. And he walks away from it. Now, do you really think something's going to grow? Church, do you think something's going to grow when you have doubt? Then the next farmer throws his seed out and he plants it in the soil. And this farmer, as he plants it, he believes. He believes. He says, you know what? Something's going to happen from this seed. This seed's going to be a good seed. This seed's in great soil as well. Man, it's going to be the same thing. Now, mind me, both seeds are the same. The weather is the same. Everything is the same except for the two people. One planted it with doubt, and the other one planted it with belief. So weeks later in the field, it becomes full of growth. Not because the seed was stronger or the soil was better, but because the farmer believed and did not hesitate when he planted that seed. He said, I'm planting the seed and it will grow. The other one planted a seed and said, I'm not sure if this is going to happen. Whoa, wait a minute. What have you planted in your life? Can we talk for a moment? Is this cool? What have you planted in your heart? Maybe you're not a farmer. You're like, yo, pastor, we live in San Bernardino. We're not farmers. I get it. We're not farmers. But we do plant seeds in our heart. Come on. And we do plant seeds in our mind. Come on. And what we plant in our heart is what we harvest and what we grow and what comes out of us later on if it's not a good seed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So if you're an angry person and you don't get rid of it, guess what? You become even more angry. So what is it in your life that you've planted? In your mind or your heart that you've planted with doubt? And what have you planted with 100% belief? You know, there's times that we don't receive things because of the doubt that we have. You know, there's times that we don't see things that God is doing in our life because of the doubt that we have. You know, there's times in our life that God wants to bless us beyond what we can even think or imagine, like it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, but we don't see because of the doubt that we have. See, you can't throw the doubt down and think something's going to happen as soon as it's planted. Well, pastor, I would pray for this person, but I don't know if something's going to happen. Listen, it's not up to you whether something happens. You believe something's going to happen, and you trust that God's going to do it. Come on. I remember one time in a prayer line, I had a teenager walk up, and they said, can you pray for me? I said, well, do you believe God can heal you? And they said, no. I said, okay, go sit down. Pastor, you're rude. No, I'm being real. Same teenager walks up again. This is real. Can you pray for me? Do you believe that God can heal you? No, I don't believe he can heal me. Okay, go sit down. Different teenager walks up, pray for them, boom, they get healed. Another one walks up, boom, they get filled with the Spirit. Another one walks up, boom, they're getting healed. They have tears everywhere. They're being touched by God. Shelby, you might have been there that night. Another teenager, the same teenager walks up and says to me, Pastor, can you pray for me? I go, do you believe that you can get healed? And he goes, I do. Prayed for him, boom, instantly healed. But I guarantee if he came up and said, no, I don't believe, and I prayed for him, he's not going to be healed. He's doubting. And God wants us to start believing. I once heard a pastor say it like this. He said, just like this, it's not the size of your faith that moves mountains, it's the size of your God. Just like the father in Mark chapter 9, his belief makes the impossible situation possible. Faith doesn't deny the reality, it declares the possibility. Listen, church, when you believe, you permit God to turn your if into what's done, which leads me into this last point tonight and my next point. This point is everything, and it's this, the if that changes everything. How many in this place right now would honestly say there is an if in your life and there are some changes that you need everywhere in your life? Raise your hand if there's anyone out there. How many would say, I need everything changed? I need finances changed. I need jobs changed. I don't need my spouse changed, right? But I need everything else changed in here, right? How many would agree with me? Raise your hand if that's you in this place. Most of us would, right? So here's what I want to say. Listen to this. Here's how it happens. I love this. Mark chapter 9, verse 24, he says this. I believe, help my what? In other words, Jesus, I believe, but help me. because I still have unbelief. But if you want everything to change, you got to have no unbelief. It's got to be all belief. I personally think, and I'm not saying this as a theologian or theologically or anything, I think this is one of the honest prayers in the entire Bible. Here's why. The Father's not pretending. He's not quoting scriptures. He's not putting on a brave face. He's standing before Jesus, broken. How many would stand before him broken? He's standing before him scared. He's standing before him exhausted, tired. Does that sound like anyone in this room tonight? Raise your hand if that's anybody, that we stand in front of Jesus like that. Here's why I think this is an important prayer. Because he says, I need help. In other words, I don't have it all together. And I can't believe everything that I'm supposed to believe. I do have a belief, but help me, God, with my unbelief. A lot of you know there was a season, and I'm still battling through some health things, and God is really healing my body and changing things. And people said, you've even looked different. You've put weight on. You know, you're starting to look healthy again. But there was a season where I wasn't. And there was a season where I was tired and I was exhausted. And there was a season where I quoted the scripture. Like, I always be very transparent with you guys. Is that okay? Can I be honest? I quoted every healing scripture. I read through Psalms. I read through different healing ones. I got the Bible apps, and I went through all the healings, and I wrote them all on my notes on my iPhone, and I would speak them over my life over and over and over and over and over. I think you get the point, right? Over and over again. And I wasn't seeing results. Anybody ever been there? I did not see any results. And I said, God, your word says I took authority over every demonic thing. I said, God, if I have any open doors in my life, close them. If there's witchcraft, if there's anything that tried to attach myself, God, close it. Get rid of it. I had other people praying for me. And all these different things that were going on in my life. Can I be honest with you? I came to a place, God, help me with my unbelief. I believe God. I'm preaching your gospel. I'm reading your word. I'm teaching from in youth pulpit, in the main pulpit. I'm teaching in Bible college. I'm in church planting school. I'm doing all these things, God, you're asking me to do. But God, help me with my unbelief. But you're a pastor. How do you have unbelief? Because I'm human. And I know facing this and going through this season and just battling, I mean, just every demonic thing that would come at us, even today, God, help me with my unbelief. Because I'm not 100% perfectly healed like I want to be, but I know God's going to do it. But while I'm in that process, there are days. If anyone in here will understand what it feels like to be in pain, there are good days and there are bad days. And so there are days that it's great and days I feel healthy, days I'm at the gym even longer and I feel better, but then the next day I'm like, oh, why did I do that? Because there's good days and there are bad days. And in those bad days, I'm like, God, help me with my unbelief because I want to believe God as much as I can. But it's hard when you don't see it. It's hard when you don't feel it. And so as I'm crying out to God, help me with my unbelief, God. Help me with my unbelief. God dropped something in my heart. And he said, I already have. You what? Do I need to say it again? I already have. He goes, but what I need you to do is believe that I have. Church, can I submit this to you tonight? Maybe you're in this place and there's some unbelief about a situation. Maybe you need healing and there's unbelief that you can be because doctors have given you this terrible report and not the report of God, and yet you're having an unbelief because you don't believe completely. Can I submit this to you tonight? Know this, God already has. He's already given you what you don't believe for. But are you stepping in to what it is? He's already given to you what you battle with. He's already given you the victory. But are you stepping in to it? Are you believing that he's doing it? He's already speaking to you about your next situation and your next job, and yet we haven't listened to what God wants to say because we're in unbelief that it could happen in our life. He's already challenged you in this area of your life. And all he wants you to do is start believing for the unbelievable to take place. What did he say to that father? With faith, everything is what? Everything is what? So here's what I believe. I believe what you're believing for tonight, God wants to do. I believe what you came into church tonight with, God is saying, I want to release it from you tonight. I believe all those who are in this room tonight, who are in a place of help with my unbelief, God's in a place to say, here's what I want to do, and I want you to start believing for. So at the very beginning of this message, I asked you a question. And the question was this: what is your if? Is it the if that hesitates? Is it the if that activates? In other words, the if that activates heavens and moves God's power? Or is it the if that changes everything, unlocks a miracle that you need in your life? Tonight I want to pray with you real fast. But if you're in this room and you're saying to yourself that you have an if and you need it changed to be a possible situation, can you raise your hand? Can you raise your hand all over this room if that's you tonight? If that's you tonight, if you're in a place of saying, you know what, Pastor, I could be real with you tonight, and I could say I have unbelief in me, and I could say, God, help me with my unbelief. Is that you? Raise your hand. All over this place, just raise your hand. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do next. I'm going to ask you to make a bold step. Stand to your feet right where you're at. Just stand to your feet right where you're at. All over this place, just stand to your feet. Right now, just stand to your feet all over this place. If that's you tonight, and you're saying to yourself, I have that. There's an if in me. If that's you, all over this room, stand to your feet. Here's what I'm going to do is this. Inside a few moments, I'm going to ask that all of us, if you see a hand up, can we just turn around and just lay our hands on somebody that's close to you? If they're nearby, just lay your hands on them. Even if you're standing up together, lay your hands on each other. It's all good. We can all believe for each other. Father, we come to you tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you, God, for your word tonight, God. And I thank you, God, for what you're doing tonight, God, in the hearts and lives of all these people that are in this room, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Lord, as they're standing, God, in boldness, saying that they need help with their unbelief, Lord. God, I don't know what their situation is. I don't know what their challenge is, God. I don't know if it's a medical thing, God, a financial thing, God, a marriage thing, God, a kids thing. We don't know what it is, God, but you do, God. And God, here's what I know, that if we believe, God, and have faith that all things are possible, God. So tonight, God, as a congregation and people of faith in this room, God, we are asking you to come through in their life right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. Tonight, before I dismiss, I want to talk to you for a few more moments. Is that all right? Wave at me if that's okay. Good, I'm going to do it anyway. But tonight, this is very important, and I can preach a message, and anyone can come up here and preach a message over and over about God's goodness and God's faith and believing. But here's the thing. I just have to be honest with you tonight, because I love you enough to tell you the truth, that if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're not going to make it into heaven. Pastor, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. If tonight you get up out of your chair and you walk out of this room and you don't know who Jesus is, you've never given Jesus your whole life and your whole heart, and you get in a car accident or an earthquake comes or a tragedy takes place in your neighborhood or even in California, it really doesn't matter. But if you die, you will not make it to heaven. You will end up in hell. And a lot of times, we think because we go to church, we're good people. Can I be honest with you? I've talked to so many people, and they say, I'm going to heaven because I'm good because I go to church. That does not mean that you're going to heaven. A lot of times, we think because we go to church that we're going to go to heaven. Listen, can I just be real with you? Just because you come to church doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven. Listen, if it was that easy, churches would be filled with people. And so, Pastor, you're telling us about, like, not getting to heaven, but when are you going to tell us about getting to heaven? I'm going to tell you right now about getting to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about how good you did. It's not about whether you wear a necklace with a cross on it. It's not about whether you come to church, whether you carry the pastor's Bible, you serve in a ministry, you lead people in prayer. None of that really matters. What matters is this: your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, this, if you're not born again and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, when that time comes, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I got to tell you and love you enough to tell you the truth. There is no, let me think about getting in. Let me check I'm going to get in. I hope I'm going to get in. Listen, if you've never given him your whole life and your whole heart, you will stand before him and hear these words: depart from me, I never knew who you were. Instead of, well done, good and faithful servant, welcome to the kingdom of heaven forever. So tonight, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive the greatest invitation of your life. Well, what is that? Here's what it is: to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's what it means. One where you know that you came in, and you came in one way, and you gave your heart to Jesus, and you left a whole different way. But here's what it can mean. If something happened to you, and I pray nothing happens to you, but how many know life happens and things happens and things go on in life, right? We could be in an accident. We've seen it. COVID's hit. We've seen people go. We've lost people here. We've seen it. We've done more funerals here over and over from ages 18 to 68. Like, we've done all ages. In a week, we've done so many different funerals. Why? Because none of us are promised tomorrow, not one of us. But yet you exist right now and you're here today. So maybe you're in this room tonight and you're saying to yourself, I don't know who this Jesus is. And I don't want to die, and I don't want to go to hell. But when I die, I want to go to heaven. Well, here's how you're going to get to heaven. In a few moments, I'm going to give you some instructions. And the instructions are going to be you receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. You coming into a place to say, that's me, Pastor. I want to get right with God. I want to know that I know that if something happened, that I would make it to heaven. I want to know that I've walked out of here tonight, got in a car accident, and if that was my last night here on earth, I want to know that I would wake up and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven forever. Not depart from me, I never knew who you were. So here's how it's going to work. I'm going to make it real simple for you tonight. I'm going to count to three, and if you're in this room, all I'm going to ask you to do is slip your hand up tonight. What I'm going to do is, as you slip your hand up, we're going to say a prayer right there in your seat, and then I'm going to give you instructions right after that. But who should do this if you're running from God instead of to God? Who else should do this if you've never given Jesus Christ your whole heart and your whole life? Who else should do this? If you're a lukewarm Christian, what is that? A little in, a little out. Token prayer, never fully sold out, never full hearted in for the things of God. Bible says it like this in Revelations chapter 3, and I find it interesting because in Revelations chapter 3, he is speaking to the churches, and he says to this, he says, when I come back, not if I come back, when I come back, that could be today, that could be tomorrow, look how the world's going, we don't know. But he says, when I come back, I better find you hot or cold. Because if I find you lukewarm, a little in, a little out, if I find you lukewarm, I will vomit you from my mouth. In other words, you're not going to make it. Pastor, that's pretty harsh. Yeah, but he gave us the opportunity. I thought God was a good God. God is a great God. That's why he's a God that gives you a choice what you're going to make. He's not forcing you to do something. It's a choice that you have to make. But know this, with every choice that we make, there's consequences to it. And if our choice is, yes, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior, guess what? When that day comes, you're going to hear this: well done, good and faithful servant. But if my choice is, I'm going to sit back and think to myself, I got another time. Or I got another day, I can do this. What if that what if you left? You don't have that time and day. Then you stand before him and he says, do you remember that loudmouth preacher I put in front of your face tonight? You're like, yeah, I remember that dude. Crazy guy, yeah, I remember. Do you remember when he said he's going to give you the greatest invitation of your life? And you sat there and you denied me? Because you denied me, I have to deny you. Depart from me, I never knew who you were. Or it could go this way. Do you remember that loudmouth preacher that was in front of your face tonight preaching? You're like, yeah, I remember him. Do you remember when he said 1, 2, 3, bang, and you raised your hand, you want to give your life and your heart to me? You're like, yes, I remember. Because you did, well done. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven forever. So here's how it's going to work. I'm going to count to three. Right there in your seat, if that's you, all I want you to do is pop your hand up. I know, you're thinking, if I raise my hand in front of all these people, look around, come on. If I raise my hand, I'm going to be embarrassed. Listen, can I be real with you for a moment? I think I'd rather be embarrassed for a split of a second, less than a blink of an eye, than look at the trade-off and end up in hell for eternity. Could you imagine standing before Jesus tonight and him saying, well, yeah, God, I didn't raise my hand because I was embarrassed. And he said, well, you should have. Because if you did, I could say, well done. But because you didn't, you were embarrassed to me. Depart from me. And if I could be honest with you and real with you, if you can't raise your hand in a friendly place like a church like this, you'll never live for Jesus outside the walls of the church. So who should do this? If you're running from God instead of to God, who else? If you've never done this before, who else should do this? If you're lukewarm, on three, if that's you. 1, 2, 3, bang. Anybody in this room, pop your hand up all over this place so I could see it. Pop them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Any more? Pop it up. I got you. 7, 8, 9, 10. I got you. Anyone else? I got you. 11. Anyone else? 11 wise people. Is there any more? Pop your hand up. 12, 13, got you. Anyone else? Just pop your hand up. I'd embarrass them. I won't embarrass you. 13 wise people. I think I got you guys. 13 wise people. Is there any more? Just pop your hand up. Heart's beating at your chest, man. Just do it. Just submit to God and do it. If you're thinking, I wish this guy would shut up, you really need to do it. If there's any more, just pop your hand up. 13 wise people. Is there any more? Any more? Is that a hand back there? Is that a crutch back there? I got you, man. 14 wise people. Is there any more? Anyone in the family rooms tonight? If that's you tonight, make that decision. Just raise your hand so we can see. Oh, I got you way over there. 14, 15 people. Right there, I got you, bro. I wave it at you. Is there any more? All over this place. 15 wise people. Is there any more? Come on, just let God move. What if that's your if tonight? If I would have gave my heart to Jesus, my life could have been different. 15 wise people. Is there any more? Don't make it that if. How about make it possible and say, I can't give my heart to Jesus. If that's you, just raise your hand. You're pointing somewhere. Where are you pointing at? Where are you pointing? Where are you? Okay, I got you. 16. Got you, bro, right there. 16. Any more? Just pop your hand up. Help me out, church, if you see. Sometimes it's hard to see from up here. Is there any more? 16 wise people. Is there any more? Just pop your hand up. All we're going to do is say a prayer right there in your seat tonight. Then I'll give you some instructions. If there's any more, just pop your hand up. We'll let God move for a few more moments. Is there any more? All right, well, let's give God a praise for 16 wise people tonight. All right, well, you don't get there just by the raise of your hand. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to say a prayer. And we're going to invite Jesus into our heart to be our Lord and our Savior. All right, so everyone in this room, all 16 of you, if there's any more, repeat this after me. And everyone in this room is going to repeat it with me as well and with you. Father God, tonight, I thank you for the opportunity that I have to give my life and my heart to you. Jesus, come inside of my heart. Forgive me for all my sins. I repent and I turn away from hell and I turn towards heaven. Jesus, tonight, I believe that you died and you rose again from the dead. Holy Spirit, fill me, empower me, help me be the Christian that I'm called to be. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Right after service tonight, you're going to see my friend, Pastor Joel. He's going to have some faith-filled friends that will be standing out there with a book. For you 16 tonight that said you want to give your life and your heart to Jesus, I want you to grab a book from out there. They'll explain it to you. It's a great book. It's on discipleship. Our own senior pastor, Pastor Dan, wrote it. With that,
hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of Him. Who's Him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us, and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site, on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally, you don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.